said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it. Those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Good morning. We have Bible study here at United Lutheran Church. We have it twice a week, Sunday mornings and Monday mornings. And usually when we get started, we open up with some kind of prayer. We usually ask God to open our hearts so that we can know Jesus better. We ask God to open our minds so we can learn about Scripture. We want to learn. We want to get some new perspective. That's why we're there in Bible study. We want to see Jesus. In our gospel reading for this morning, we hear this phrase, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." The setting of this scene comes right after Jesus triumphantly enters into Jerusalem. So we're doing things a little bit out of order, even though we have Palm Sunday next week. This is where we find ourselves this morning. The city is full of people for Passover, the Jewish holiday that celebrates liberation from slavery, as chronicled in the book of Exodus. Over the centuries, Jewish people have been alternately scattered from Israel due to different foreign powers. They've been allowed to return. But some people, after they were forced out of Israel centuries before our gospel reading, chose to stay in their new homes. They would visit their ancestral homeland for holidays, such as Passover. So these types of Jews and Jesus would have encountered each other during Jesus' time in the city. So these Greek-speaking Jews, they're the ones who meet with Philip and make their wishes known. That phrase, again, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." It's a simple request. Maybe they asked out of curiosity. They may have found something compelling about him. They may have seen him enter the city of Jerusalem. Maybe word just traveled fast. So that's not clear. But what is clear is that they do wish to see Jesus. What becomes clear isn't whether they actually do see him, but what it means to meet Jesus. Jesus compares himself somewhat mysteriously to a seed, which he goes on to say must die to bear a harvest. In the same way, anybody who wishes to meet Jesus must be willing to follow Jesus, must be willing to give himself or herself up in the same way that a seed does. What Jesus is saying is that you can't hold on to these temporary things. Those who hold on to their lives will lose them. And those who hate, a word in this case that means reject, their lives on this earth will find eternal life. It's easy to say. It's hard to put into practice. We ask to see Jesus. And we should want to. Throughout the course of Lent, leading up to Holy Week, which is almost upon us, Jesus shows us, instead of just saying, Jesus shows us what sacrificial love really is. We want to draw near to that. But do we know what closeness with Jesus really involves? I think of a story that appears in the other three Gospels. It doesn't appear in John, but it comes to mind, where two brothers are asking Jesus if they sit on his sides when he comes into his kingdom. And Jesus tells them that they don't know what they're asking for. Maybe we don't know what we're asking for when we say we wish to see Jesus either. We ask to see Jesus, but what we miss often is his response that we must try to be like him. In Jesus' words, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also." When we ask to see Jesus, what we are really asking, what we may not realize that we are asking, is that we are wishing to be like Jesus. And when we ask to be like Jesus, we are asking God to show us the way to denying ourselves and taking up our crosses. We are often so certain that we know what we're asking for, but we get stuck in these excuses, we get stuck in half measures. The crowd of people listening to Jesus teach, they're having a first-hand encounter with Jesus during his ministry, and they hear the voice of God saying that God has glorified his name. But they write it off. They write it off as thunder. They write it off as maybe an angel talking to Jesus. The point is that they are putting this within the frame of something that makes them comfortable. They think they know what God wants for them. They think they know what God wants to say, but what they miss is what is right in front of them. Even when Jesus says that this voice is explicitly for your benefit. How often do we say we want to see Jesus and then we miss him, we refuse to listen? We live in a culture that, frankly, does this all the time. We hear this demand frequently that we have removed God from our lives as though we could do something like that. We decide where God is. We ask for prayer in public places, we ask for a religious presence in schools, and yet we just shrug with resignation when children go to bed hungry. We say that poverty is some kind of a personal failure rather than an injustice. The prophet Amos addresses this desire to see God, when he says, I despise your festivals, but let justice roll down like waters. We ask to see Jesus. If that is true, we ought to be living a life of self-sacrifice. We should be willing to give ourselves up, even though it is scary. Jesus has already given himself up for us, we who are so unworthy and yet so loved by God. Are we really listening and watching for Jesus? Do we know what is right in front of us? How then are we the hands and the feet of God? How are we serving God so that others may also see Jesus in us? This isn't a small thing. I want to make that clear. It's not as though giving ourselves up for others is so easy, because it isn't. But within it, Jesus is with us. He says, "Where my servant is, there I am too." We can't ask for anything better than that. Jesus is with us. So let's go and be disciples and give thanks to God. Amen.